It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be podsmacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Welcome to the Rob Carson Show podcast. Episode number 182. For those of you checking it out on Liberty One TV, it is Casual Friday, okay? It is Casual Friday, and I'll tell you why. Because I had a computer crash this morning. I've been trying to hustle to get the show done today. And I promise you, it will be good. It will be good. But it has been a challenging day, to say the least. But welcome to the show. Glad to have you here, LibertyOneTV.com. Glad to have you here, Podcast Radio Network. The show runs on Liberty One TV every day, 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock on the Podcast Radio Network every single day. We're glad to have you a part of the show. And we've got a lot of stuff to get to. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. Not all political, by the way. Not all political. We're going to get into the latest from the Las Vegas shooter. ISIS is giving up because America's kicking its ass. Jimmy Kimmel is increasing his security. No NFL protests last night. Oh, and a product from Google that could eliminate you having to take Spanish in high school. The end of the remote. Cam Newton apologizing. California can arrest you because you don't call someone a he or a she or a cisgender or whatever the hell. So much to get to. So little time. Let's start with the latest from the Vegas shooter who will remain unnamed. This has been an unreal week, right? I mean, it's kind of post 9/11. Obviously, it's not as big as 9/11 as far as the death count is concerned, but it's been a challenging week, right? I've taken from this week the knowledge that there were so many heroes, and that's the thing has really buoyed me. And listen, I'm not suffering, okay? I didn't get killed. I didn't get shot. I don't know anybody got shot, but still, we as a nation mourn when these things happen. Mary Lou Danley, the girlfriend of this guy, said that she remembers him exhibiting symptoms such as lying in bed and moaning. She said he would lie in bed moaning and screaming, "Oh, my God." He apparently displayed some mental health issues, and that's what it sounds like, guys. That's what it sounds like. Investigators are examining approximately 6 media devices left behind by this guy. So we don't know, but it's pointing toward mental illness. And yeah, who the hell knows? What percentage of the people in the country have mental illness? I mean, you know, depression or OCD or ADD or ADHD or whatever. Those are all mental illnesses, right? They are. They're all mental illnesses. Family friend of the Vegas shooter, Adam Lefebvre, lived in Australia, I believe, spoke to a current affair. I know it's still around. He went to Vegas with Paddock two years ago, and his partner Lisa and her sister Marilu, and they traveled the Philippines with him twice. He noticed that the killer was condescending towards his girlfriend, making her nervous and jittery while making... apparently, also, he had a habit of having prostitutes offered by the casinos. You know, that's probably got to end. I'm just saying. That whole prostitutes to the room as a high roll, that's probably got to end, don't you think? Casinos? Said, "I experienced Steve talking to Mary Lou in an abrupt manner at times. She seemed very nervous and jittery." He also talked about a gun room, apparently. There was a gun room at the house. And he went to one of his houses. Here is this guy, Adam Lefebvre, talking about his one-time, I guess, friend, the shooter in Vegas.
"But as we walked through that small area," Steve said, "bedroom, lounge room, or sitting room, I think is what he referred to it as, and gun room. And he said, well, you know, most people in the US have firearms and they need to be protected. And of course, you don't want firearms falling into the hands of the wrong people. Ah. Now, retrospectively, I wish I had picked up on that earlier.
Well, yeah, well, you know, I think there are a lot of people who wish they would have picked up on some of this stuff, because there were a lot of things I think a lot of people would have said, there's something kind of up with this. I don't know, guys, it's not going to be about gun control, because if it's not guns, it's going to be explosive. If it's not explosive, it's going to be vehicles. If it's not vehicles, it's going to be knives. If it's not knives, it's going to be bats. Madmen will find a million ways to kill. It's going to be some sort of profiling. It's going to be some sort of mental health profiling. Maybe. And then who the hell knows, honestly? There was a family who survived the Las Vegas massacre, spoke highly of Donald Trump and the First Lady. Steve Manlinson was at the concert with his daughters, Stephanie and Paige, along with their mother, Rose Marie, who was shot and is currently recovering. Here's what they had to say about meeting the Trumps.
A lot of calls and texts about, oh my gosh, how exciting you got to meet the president and the First Lady. Like, what was the experience like? What'd you think? And, you know, even this moment, they're real people. He's a real human. She's a real human. They had a heart. They were caring. They were sympathetic. They had a listening ear. He sends his condolences.
And she raced over to hug you.
It was hard to take in. Yes, yes. Before he could finish talking, she got up and just beelined over to us and just hugged me and told me, your mom is strong. She's a fighter. She'll be okay.
Boy, what bastards, huh? I mean, this president is a complete bastard. Latest presidential poll for approval is 46%. 46% of likely voters approve of the president's job performance. 53% disapprove. Half the country's Democrat. Get it. I get it. I was never a fan of the president. I wasn't a fan when he ran. He was my last candidate. But as the nation's chief executive, and that's what this is, we have an executive. He is in charge. And I don't think, if you look at the response to Houston and Florida and Vegas and Puerto Rico, I think we've rarely seen an executive do what they do as well as this president. He's doing a good job. I hate to tell you guys who hate him, he's doing a freaking great job. He is. The Vegas shooter, very wealthy retired accountant, gambling addict, spent huge sums to amass his arsenal, spent a lot of money playing video poker. He just spent $3.50 for a meal. He lived at the Mesquite Community and Senior Center, and he would eat Mexican food, meatloaf, and burgers. Then he would drove to the Mandalay Bay Casino. This is a government-run center, I guess, and he asked the cook before the last time they saw him for the enchilada recipe. Local resident Marshall Milland, a 78, said, recognize Stephen when his face flashed up on TV. He last came to our center about 11 o'clock last Thursday, checked in at the desk. Pardon me, I had to sneeze. Didn't stop for lunch like he usually does. Instead, he went straight to the counter to speak with the cook and asked how about her enchiladas. Want to know how she made them. After he left, no one took any notice. It wasn't until later that we learned that he drove to Vegas that afternoon. Everyone at the center was shocked after, of course, what happened. Other fellow diners remember Paddock as an unsociable and quiet man who sat alone to eat his lunch. Retired construction worker described him as introverted. He'd come in on and off sometimes three times a week. He'd been coming in last year, and when I first saw him, I thought he was a homeless person. He was unshaven, disheveled, quiet, wasn't a big conversation, at least sit on his own. But even if there was someone else at his table, he always seemed to himself. I never saw him getting into steady conversations with anyone. He didn't mingle. He was just quiet. Well, how many times have we heard that about killers, right? NRA has been called terrorist. I'm an NRA member, and I don't like to be called a terrorist or a follower of a terrorist organization. Tucker Carlson talked with NRA Executive Director Chris Cox last night about the NRA and being a member. Here's that exchange.
Do you feel like they're complicit, the GOP, the NRA, and the gun epidemic we're seeing in America?
This is Hillary Clinton, by the way. To start it off, this is Hillary Clinton complicit in the NRA is complicit in a mass shooting.
Do you feel like they're complicit, the GOP, the NRA, and the gun epidemic we're seeing in America?
Of course they are. Of course they are.
Break from the NRA, which is Chuck making Schumer. Things worse, and work with us to get something done.
Let's face it. The reason we don't have gun safety measures in the United States today is because of the NRA.
Well, Chris Cox is the executive director of the NRA Institute for Legislative Action, and he joins us on the set tonight. How do you feel when you see that, Chris? You watch 58 people murdered in public, and then you see yourself personally blamed for those murders.
Tucker, the American people are struggling. They're grieving. And so are the 5 million men and women of the National Rifle Association. The truth is that there are NRA members at that concert. There were NRA members shot at that concert, and NRA members murdered at that concert.
And NRA members saved people at that concert.
So the American people are looking for answers, and so are we.
So the NRA that was blamed for the shootings, was the shooter himself an NRA member? Have you checked?
Of course not. And that's the one thing that's consistent is they blame the one organization whose members don't commit the crimes.
Thank you.
So you know that for certain?
Yes.
Okay. Then why are people blaming you? What's the agenda, do you think?
Well, you know, the agenda, Dianne Feinstein said it herself when she said, if I had 51 votes, Mr. and Miss America, turn them all in.
There you go. Dianne Feinstein would have everybody turn their guns in. And I don't like to be called, and listen, I'm a Donald Trump supporter. I voted for him, and I'm a Nazi, right? I'm a Nazi. I'm a fascist. And now that I'm an NRA member, I am also... a terrorist. It's really remarkable. It really is. Really is remarkable. Well, I'm going to continue to remain an NRA member, by the way. And I don't have an arsenal, but I got some stuff to protect myself and my family. Nancy Pelosi is just, I mean, she needs to go. And listen, I don't wish her any bad on her. And I don't think these are anything more than senior moments, but she is experiencing a lot of brain freezes, which is, it doesn't take a lot of cool air to freeze that brain because it's pretty small. But anyway, Nancy Pelosi participating in a town hall meeting televised on CNN. Suffered some brain freezes, stared at the audience, waved her hands while appearing to be struggling to speak. Here's a little bit of Nanny Pelosi with her brain freezing up. Here it is.
Responsible gun owners from the hills of Arizona to the duck blinds of Minnesota all over say we're all law-abiding. We have many guns. We have as many guns as he had, but we have... background checks.
This isn't a
frivolous thing. And many of us who are interested in the public knowing. Now, on the money side, we have a letter that we're sending to ask. Letter came, not from us, from the board that was established to establish. To reestablish the financial integrity, economic integrity of Puerto Rico. When I say integrity, success. That board has just written to us, the four leaders, asking us to pass a law to enable the Treasury Department to lend money to Puerto Rico to get through its governance.
Yeah, I've got a blue vest for you here. And... this is the entrance of Walmart, and I want you to go over there, and we'll have you as an employee for a while. So thank you, Miss Pelosi. Glad to have you here. It's time. You know, the federal government expects us to retire at 65. they're going to push it back to 70 very soon, I'm sure, with regard to Social Security. Why do we have people in their 70s and 80s and 90s in Congress? I don't understand. I'm going to turn my camera down a little bit. There you go. Okay. Donald Trump has a lot of people freaked out because he said something about... This is so funny. He met with military leaders at the White House. Secretary of Defense James Mattis, General Joseph Dunford attended, as well as former generals who now serve Trump at the White House, General John Kelly, General H.R. McMaster. And he talked about this is the calm before the storm. And I like this. I think crazy needs to be met with crazy. And I don't think Donald Trump is crazy. But when he says things like this, it drives the crazy even crazier. Because they're all wondering, what does he mean, the calm before the storm? Who is he going to attack? Here he is last night. All right.
Do you know what this represents? Well, we reached the calm before the storm.
What's the storm?
It could be the calm before the storm.
What storm, Mr.
We
President?
We have the world's great military people in this room. I will tell you that.
Yeah.
And we have a great evening. Thank you all for coming.
The calm before the storm.
What storm, Mr. President?
I love this. I really do. I love this because it keeps people, the bad people of the world, on their toes. It makes the media scratch their head. They're normally, they're normally attacking him, and now he says this is the calm before the storm. Hey, here's what I think it is. They're going to do something about North Korea. Maybe I'm saying something obvious here, but I think that's the first target. And the withdrawal of America from the Iranian arms deal, the Iranian nuclear deal, that's the other thing. Okay. Yesterday, I talked to you about how the United States has taken the gloves off with regard to ISIS. General Mattis has said, no, rules of engagement are different now. Now we go after them. We don't wait for them to attack us to go after them. Now we go after them actively, and they're scared shitless, to be quite honest. U.S.-backed Iraqi forces announced Thursday they've retaken one of ISIS's remaining strongholds after hundreds of militants surrendered amid fresh signs the terror group is collapsing. I love this. They're giving up, said Lieutenant General Paul Funk, who commands the coalition task fighting ISIS in Iraq and Syria. Their leaders are abandoning them, and in uncommon scenes, large groups of militants were turning themselves over to the Kurdish Peshmerga forces. I love this. The fall of Hawija in northern Iraq after 2 weeks of fighting is the latest string of defeats for ISIS. The speed at which the enemy gave up surprised me, Funk said. I love this. I love this. Funk said about 1,000 militants surrendered in the past 3 or 4 days of fighting in Hawija. Coalition had estimated about 1,500 militants were defending the city when the offense began. They're cowards. They're pussies. They are. In July, Iraq announced that Mosul, the country's second largest city, was retaken in about 9 months of intense fighting. So I love this. Many of the fanatical foreign fighters who initially provided the leadership have been killed, and those remaining on the battlefield are conscripts who often lack the will to fight. Good. They're pussies. Good news, by the way. Last night, the Patriots and Bucks played. I didn't see the game. I don't know. I was watching Netflix, actually. I was getting really into this Netflix documentary. I like documentaries. That's what I like. And then the heroin epidemic of the country, that kind of caught my interest because it's terrifying. That's for another day. But there was no anthem protests. Kind of nice, right? I guess the game wasn't that good. I don't even know who won, but there were no protests during the anthem. So there you go. Good. Let's frickin' move on. Can we just watch the Gladiators play football? Jimmy Kimmel, ever since the late night host began crusading against the effort by President Donald Trump and the Republican Congress to repeal the Affordable Care Act, there have been incidents with Trump supporters, they say, that have forced him to increase security at his show tapings. Sources tell Jimmy Kimmel Live that the comedian has had some issues with protesters who don't appreciate his criticism of Trump and his support of Obamacare. In response to the protest, the show has increased personnel at both the front and back entrances. This personnel consists of highly trained off-duty police officers. In addition to the protesters, several concerning emails and letters have been sent to the production. So they are increasing the the security, and I would assume they have guns. I'm just assuming. I met Jimmy Kimmel a few years ago, and you know, it was okay. It was nice to meet him. He was being a smartass. This literally was. I was flown out to LA for the Oscars, and ABC Television used to fly out ABC Radio affiliates and put us up and see the Oscars before the Oscars happened, like the Thursday and Friday before the Oscars. And you'd see the red carpet being laid down and all that. You'd sit in the tent where the celebrities walk through before they go into the Kodak Theater. And I got to meet Jimmy Kimmel, you know, and it was just, it was a nonsense interview because everything he says was a smart ass comedy answer. And that's fine. That's what he does. And I wasn't asking him anything important at the time. But I did have the chance to meet him, and he's okay. He's one of my generation. I appreciate Jimmy Kimmel and his ilk. I appreciate Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla, good friend of his out there in L.A. These guys have done very well. Kimmel and Carolla really kind of grew up together out there, and Carolla was originally tasked to replace Howard Stern on the radio in L.A., and you can't replace Howard Stern, so he took a lot of heat about it, and he took the brunt of why the station failed, and then he went on to succeed, and he's doing very well. So both those guys are doing well. I think Jimmy is a funny guy. Not a genius, but just a funny guy. And I would prefer that he stays the F out of politics. Quick story, Charles Krauthammer has been off on Fox News, and Charles Krauthammer is, I really enjoy him. I disagree with him frequently. He's a kind of an establishment Republican to some degree, but I do think he's wonderful to watch, and he's a psychologist, and he is off of the Bret Baier show and Fox News, and he's been going through some surgery, I guess. And I want to mention this because a lot of people, when they originally see Charles Krauthammer, they, what's up with that guy? What's up with him, man? Well, he's a quadriplegic. He's a quadriplegic. He is a man who, I believe, in his 20s dove into some shallow water and broke his neck and is a quadriplegic. And that he has fought through that to become an incredible mind, not only in psychology but also in political punditry, I admire him greatly. And I pray for his speedy recovery. Over the years, I've had the chance to meet people who are paralyzed, and I can't imagine. My friend named Richie, who lives in Germantown, Maryland, who the same thing happened to him, and he has no ability to feel his legs or his hands. He can raise his hand with a straw. That's about it. But they've gone on to become incredible people. My friend Richie is a father of several kids, and I don't know if I'd have the wherewithal to want to live if I couldn't feel myself anything from the neck down. You know what I'm saying? Charles Krauthammer is amazing, and I pray for him. Here's Bret Baier talking about Charles Krauthammer last night.
Before we leave, one quick update. Hundreds of you, literally hundreds, have emailed, tweeted, or posted questions to me about the status of our colleague, Charles Krauthammer. As I said on the show a few weeks ago, Charles had a pre-planned surgery his doctor said he needed. He expected a speedy recovery, but ran into some complications post-surgery. He is still in the hospital, making slow, steady progress in recovery. He desperately wants to come back to the panel as soon as possible. Believe me, I speak to or email with his wife, Robbie, almost every day, and I share your thoughts and prayers. It will likely be a few more weeks, and yes, he does get to watch his Washington Nationals first game of the playoffs against the Cubs tomorrow night. So we're pulling for him. And thanks for asking about his status. He'll be back here soon, I'm sure.
It is an amazing thing to watch those who have gone through so much and continue to fight like Charles Krauthammer. He's an amazing man. Cam Newton apparently has apologized. He said something sexist the other day. Here he is talking to a female reporter, and he was a little surprised that she knew so much about football, and he's been labeled a sexist pig bastard.
I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny.
And maybe it is because women don't play pro football. Unless they play the lingerie league. I was making an observation. What? Who the hell cares? Ugh, so stupid. So stupid. Well, he's lost an endorsement deal. Apparently, he was a spokesman for Oikos, that Greek yogurt that really, it's just kind of like eating paste.
Come with me.
That's him.
New Danone Oikos Triple Zero is my go-to protein snack.
Okay. Protein from yogurt.
Yep. This Greek non-fat yogurt packs 15 grams of protein punch.
But what else?
Unlike some other protein snacks, it has zero added sugar, zero artificial sweeteners, and zero fat.
And will it up my game?
Nah, man. New Danone Oikos Triple Zero, official yogurt of the NFL. Danone.
Now, I still don't want to eat Oikos yogurt, you know, as much as Cam Newton is this. Now, I'm cool. I'm fine. No, I'll have a banana. Thanks anyway. Here he is apologizing to the female reporter that he offended and whatever.
After careful thought, I understand that my word choice was extremely degrading and disrespectful to women.
Whatever.
And to be honest, that was not my intentions. I sincerely apologize to you. What I did was extremely unacceptable.
Yes.
I've already lost sponsors and countless fans.
No, you don't.
I realized that the joke is really on me. And I've learned a valuable lesson from this. And to the young people who see this, I hope that you learn something from this as well. Don't be like me. Be better than me. And to the reporters, to the journalists, to the moms, super moms, to the daughters, the sisters, and the women all around the world, I sincerely apologize and hope that you can find the kindness in your heart to forgive.
Now, do you suppose that women might treat straight men differently if they're sitting there watching Sex in the City, or you know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know what nonsense. I think it's nonsense. No disrespect to women. It was surprising because he normally talks to men all the time. Men are screaming at him. There are no women on the sidelines. This woman was very smart. Listen, nothing against female sport reporters. Great. They're into it. I dig it. I'm more than me. She knows more about sports than I do. I don't know what the hell. What's a route? You go this way, you go that way. There you go. There's a route. I don't know what the hell it is. Anyway, I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. Oh, late night TV's reaction to the finding of St. Nick. Now, St. Nicholas, they found the body of St. Nicholas, the crypt in Turkey. And instead of berating late night television and its take on gun control and the usual proselytizing they do and BS, they had some funny things to say about St. Nick.
A group of Turkish archaeologists claim they've uncovered the final resting place of St. Nicholas, old St. Nick. And what you're seeing right there is Santa's grave.
I told you, I looked. Now you're, how do you explain that to kids, by the way? I have some good news about Santa and some bad news.
Archaeologists believe they have found the tomb of St. Nicholas beneath an ancient church in Turkey. St. Nicholas, of course, is the bassist for the legend of Santa Claus. And they think they found him, which means, you know, now when my son asks me if Santa is real, I can confidently say, yes! He is dead, though.
Yeah, that's the only negative. That's what I thought yesterday. funny. This is remarkable. Now, I want you to think about this. Google's new earbuds can instantly translate 40 languages. This is amazing. One of the things that separates us is language. I can't tell you. I took French. Je peux parler français. J'ai étudié le français à l'Université de Northwest Missouri il y a 20 ans. I studied French at college 30 years ago. 30 ans. So I know how to speak French, but when I'm speaking with French people, I get lost because they're so good and they speak faster than I do. Google's Pixel Buds, they are $159, and you team them up with your smartphone and Google software. They can translate spoken language in real time. This is amazing. The operation is performed using Google Translate. The wearer taps the right earbud and says something like, "Help me speak Spanish," and Google gets to work. Person standing nearby can speak out loud in Spanish, and the earbuds will give the wearer the English translation in her ear. She can then hold her right earbud and speak English, and the phone will project the Spanish translation from the Pixel speaker. The live translation begins only a second or two after the person stops speaking. This is freaking amazing. This is, you don't realize. I mean, we go through a lot of things in the news cycle, and they are stunning. The next thing that I think that this technology, this sort of technology, will go after is translation for deaf, the deaf. One of the most marginalized groups of people, in fact, more so than even blind people, are deaf people. They go to their own schools. Very few of us know deaf people, know how to speak to deaf people. Do you have deaf friends over for football games? They are marginalized. This sort of technology will bring them into the hearing world, and I think it's amazing to be able to speak Spanish when you go to Mexico and not be considered a douche when you go abroad and expect people to speak English. And nothing, you know, speak English. It's the language of commerce. But isn't that cool? Isn't that amazing? I hope they can do real-time translation for deaf people so that the deaf can speak. I think it's amazing. They're going to get rid of the remote control. They're going to get rid of the remote control, which, by God in heaven, I swear I cannot. If they get rid of the remote control and you can wave at your television and change the channel, then by God, F the remote control. I will run over it with my car. I will celebrate the day that the remote control is gone because I'm so damn tired of searching for the friggin' remote control every day. Every day. Do you do this? Do you every day argue with your children? Where's the remote? Where'd you put it last? Where is it? I don't know where it is. It's in the kitchen. It's in the window. It's under the couch. I'm so damn tired of the remote. I spend 10 minutes a day looking for the damn remote control. And I goodbye, remote control. Done with it. New technology allows your TV to be controlled through gestures. Computer scientists at Lancaster University have come up with a system that makes it possible to interact with screens simply by using body movements, waving objects. Requiring a simple webcam called Matchpoint, so you don't need to replace your TV. Works by displaying moving targets that orbit a small circular widget. Remember that, what was that Apple game where you had it a couple of years ago? We played golf and bowling and shit. We got bored with it. It's still downstairs somewhere. User synchronizes hand, head, or object movements with the targets to activate functions such as volume, changing channel, or viewing the menu. And I know you and I are thinking, okay, this is great for us, but what about people like Charles Crownhammer? How cool would that be, right? Wouldn't that be cool for people like him? I'm thinking really big. You were thinking of simple things like translation in your ear or a remote that doesn't require a remote. I'm thinking about deaf people, blind people, and people who are quadriplegic. That's fantastic. We live in a glorious time, guys. As much as we are divided, there are some amazing things that happen. Former Arkansas judge confessed Thursday to giving lighter sentences to men convicted of minor crimes in return for nude photographs and sexual favors. What a douche. Joseph Beckman, 71, pleaded guilty to wire fraud and witness tampering. They dropped 19 charges that have been brought against him, which amounted to $2.5 million in fines, 260 years in prison. While working as a judge, Beckman would reportedly offer him in community service. That sounds like something Bill Clinton would sentence somebody to. Little community service. You know what I'm saying? Watching men pick up bottles and cans while he took photos instead of paying them court fines. Dozens of men came forward to accuse the judge of misconduct. Some of the victims allegedly said that they had posed nude for photos in exchange for money to pay their fines. Would I rather spend time in the Hooskow or pick up cans and bottles on the side of the road with no pants on? Anyway, and I'm not meaning to. Indeed, the guy's a pervert. Anyway, Beckman engaged in fraud and corruptly used his official position as Arkansas district judge to obtain professional services of sexual contact and the opportunity to view and to photograph people in compromising positions. What a creep. Jeez Louise. Not going to do that story. Minnesota man has racked up his 28th DUI charge. Danny Lee Betcher. It's always the three-word guy. It's Billy Bob, whatever. Danny Lee Betcher, 64, New York Mills. Left a party, been drinking. Officer pulled him over. Refused to roll down his window, exit the field, take a breathalyzer test. He says, I'm way over, take me to jail. That was DUI number 28. I usually think you do something after, like, I don't know, three. But anyway. He faces a maximum sentence of 7 years, two-thirds of his sentence considering, with two-thirds of his sentence consisting of prison time and the rest consisting of supervised release. $100,000 bond. Ugh, man, what a mess. I hate vegans. Vegans suck. You know, I mean, I know one vegan who's okay, but even then, they're not people you want to hang out with. They're unhealthy and they're picky and you can't feed them. You can't have them at your house. I have a line of t-shirts at tpublic.com. Conservatees. Go there. Make that a favorite. Here's one of my shirts. It's veganism is an eating disorder. And I bring that up because veganism is an eating disorder. You can have this put on a t-shirt or a hat or whatever. I've got a variety of politically incorrect designs. Please order that. But a vegan, Delinda Jensen, a vegan food truck owner, which, you know, it's kind of funny because she's driving a truck that burns fossil fuel the whole deal. Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. She posted some inflammatory posts on Facebook after the Vegas shooting. Says, yes, I am jaded. 59 meat eaters dead. How many animals will live because of this? She immediately faced backlash. Only got worse from there. She said, I don't give a bleep about carnists anymore. Carnists, I'm a carnist. I'm not a carnivore. I'm a carnist. She apparently got death threats. She had to park her vegan food truck and go out of business. Said, I effing give up. Was it poorly written? Absolutely. Do I regret it? Yes. Am I sorry I wrote that? No. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, did you hear about NBC's $70 million mistake? $70 million mistake. What did they do? They hired Megyn Kelly. NBC executives involved in her hiring are furious. Not involved in her hiring are furious of the $23 million salary she's getting every year for her tanking morning show. She's got a three-year deal. Said it's a slap in the face to other established stars. Although it is rumored that Megyn only made $17 million, Kelly will actually line her pockets with $69 million over 3 years. 46 years old, making as much money as Matt Lauer. The network that created Barbara Walters, Tom Brokaw, and Matt Lauer will now forever be remembered for the $69 million hire of Megyn Kelly. When you add up the cost of developing the show, hiring staff, promoting Megyn, $100 million mistake. I've never been a big fan. She's eye candy. She's smart, but she's eye candy, and I never got her. It was not destination TV when I watched her. I don't understand why. Coming up, the most popular Halloween candy in every state. A burglar in New York broke into a Mexican restaurant, smashed the cash register, stole $100, then proceeded to cook himself a hell of a meal. Picked out ingredients from the friends, beans, chicken, shrimp, sat down to enjoy the meal, cleaned up the place. He was like working the pot like a pro, sitting there, sifting the food, making sure it was heated evenly. After he was done, he did the dishes, dried them up, wiped down all the cooking surfaces, left a tip in the jar. Cops are trying to track him down. The owner says, I'd like to hire him. Woman is suing Junior Mints for underfilling their boxes, finding that 43% of what's in the box is air. And if I always go to a Walmart, and I think it's 97 cents for a box of candy, and that's where we get our movie candy there. But they don't fill, some of them they don't fill very much. Like they put a plastic bag in there, and it's literally just the size of a bag of the normal candy, whether it be Skittles, whatever it be, but they put it in a big box and it makes it look great. So you're getting screwed. You're getting screwed, right? But there are some like Dots, you get a lot, or Milk Duds, you get a lot. They fill that sucker up because nobody eats the candy. And I like Dots, by the way. So a woman named Biola Daniel has filed a federal lawsuit against Tootsie Roll, saying they've intentionally underfilled their boxes of Junior Mints. She says bought a box of Junior Mints last month, found it's 43% air. Milk Duds were only 23% air. Good and Plenty, 12% air. This is the candy that nobody wants, but it's, you know, they fill the box. And I like Good and Plenty, man. Biola filed a class action lawsuit, hoping other people will join. She's hoping anyone who's been wronged by half-empty Junior Mint boxes will get at least $50. So there you go. Finally today, and by the way, I want to thank Liberty One TV for having me on. Please become a member of Liberty One TV, won't you? LibertyOneTV.com. $10 a month, $99 per year, $1,000 for the executive level. And also, if you get a chance to listen, and by the way, Liberty One, I'm on Central Standard Time, 4 o'clock every day. As far as the Podcast Radio Network, I'm on 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, podcastradionetwork.com, those two things. Also, the show is available on YouTube. The audio show is on Facebook, or not Facebook. Well, it is on Facebook. iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, Google Play, Google Plus, FM Player FM, I should say. It's all over the place. And it's growing, and it's growing. The downloads are growing. Will you share the show with people? Because it's not paying my bills yet, but it's getting there. And I think if you enjoy the commentary and the content of the show, it'll catch on, because I think it's good. And I hope you agree. I hope you agree. Number one, candies for Halloween. And I love me some Halloween. Love me some Halloween. I have two bowls of candy. One, the full-size candy bars. One, the bite-size. Kids who are polite and have great costumes, say please and thank you and trick-or-treat and all that, they get the big ones. And the kids who don't, you get the small ones. You get the dum-dums and you get the Smarties. And the Smarties are good, though. Here we are, some of the states and their candies. This is Alaska candy corn. Really? Well, they eat, you know, blubber and stuff up there. Arkansas Twix, Arizona Snickers, Arkansas Jolly Ranchers. Really, those things stick to your teeth. Illinois Sour Patch Kids. I like Sour Patch Kids. Indiana's Hot Tamales. Doesn't surprise me. You ever been to Indianapolis? There's a steakhouse there. Oh, what is it called? St. Elmo's. They have a cocktail sauce that is inedible for their shrimp cocktail. Iowa, Reese's Cups. Well, they call them Reese's Cups there. But in Kentucky, they call them Reese's Cups. Kansas is Reese's Cups. Kentucky is Tootsie Pops. Really? Louisiana's Lemon Heads, Massachusetts Sour Patch Kids, Michigan Candy Corn. Who the hell still loves candy? My daughter loves candy corn, but it's not your favorite candy. New Jersey is Skittles. Skittles are a gift from God. In North Carolina's M&M's, Oklahoma Snickers. More candy corn in Rhode Island, South Carolina. I don't get that. Oh, Texas Starburst. Starburst, fantastic. Jolly Ranchers in Utah. The M&M's in the District of Columbia, Wisconsin, it's Starburst. Wyoming, it is Reese Cups. You know what really sucks about being an adult? I mean, there are a lot of things that suck about being an adult, and there are a lot of great things about being an adult. And I remember when I was a kid, I always said when I was an adult, I would be able to buy any candy that I wanted. I could go buy an entire box, and it was my fantasy to buy an entire box of candy. And now that I'm an adult, I don't really care for candy. It kind of sucks. I could. My daughter would go out tomorrow, and if you give her $10, we give her allowance, it goes to candy. And I just let her have it. I mean, what the hell? Just have your candy. I don't care. Anyway, guys, thanks for joining me today. Do greatly appreciate you you joining. Want to thank the Podcast Radio Network, Liberty One TV as well. Today is the 6th of October. It is a Friday. Enjoy your weekend. It's been a rough week for Vegas. Prayers for the first responders. Prayers for the survivors. Prayers for those who passed. In the meantime, God bless. See you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon. Thank you.